Ladies and gentlemen, I want to speak now to Ronnie Orr, who is a friend of Andy Jones. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Now, you're mates with Andy, and Andy's got a story and a half to tell, which I've been telling on air for a long, long time, sadly, because it's about the death of his son, which I shouldn't be talking about. The man should be listening on radio and should be alive and well and with us, and it's a terrible story. Tell us a story, Ronnie.
Well, what happened, Andrew went out one evening in Liverpool in 2003 with his cousin to celebrate his birthday and sadly never came home. There was an altercation in town. I think he by accident bumped into a girl, apologised. There was a group of lads there. Andrew was apologising and kind of, you know, walking away from the situation. And then out of the blue, Andrew took a punch to the side of his jaw, broke his jaw, obviously knocked him out, hit the floor, whacked his head, unconscious, and then 24 hours later, sadly passed away at 18 years of age. And we haven't been able to bring sort of the people who are responsible for this, either individually or collectively, to justice. And there's a couple of things that really needs to happen, in my opinion. Obviously, Andy, his dad, needs to find this and I think come to some sort of, you know, peace in his own mind for him and his good wife who have suffered day in and day out. And two, so it doesn't happen again to somebody else who you don't have to go through what Andrew and his wife have gone through to get the justice if anything happened to anybody else.
Ronnie, first of all, let me say that one thing has stayed with me and will stay with me forever was the fact that Andy and his wife went down every morning to where their son was killed and couldn't get past that and tore them apart. And it's that actually stayed with me, knowing that when I was driving home from my radio show, they would be there every single night.
It's harrowing. And Peter, you know, people deal with grief and death in different ways. And you know, Andrew and his wife haven't been able to move on from this because it's just haunting there every day. How he survives on 3 or 4 hours sleep a night, how his wife gets through the day with her antidepressants and what have you. And it's put a tremendous strain on their relationship. And, you know, they've kind of come together a lot more to try and sort this out, but things have been very difficult and tough for them. And for me, getting involved with the campaign of the posters and trying to get more sort of, you know, well-known personalities involved to raise the awareness to the next stage. And you know, he seems to be hitting an awful lot of brick walls. There's an awful lot of politics going on. They don't seem to think that there's enough information or evidence there. But, you know, on the face of it, there is plenty of evidence there. As to what we can do for the next stage, we've just got to keep trying to raise the awareness and making sure that people are fully on board with what actually happened.
Ronnie, tell us about the poster campaign, because I had my photograph taken with a poster and other people. Tell us about it.
Well, I got involved with the poster campaign. A very good friend of mine, Lewis Emmerich, who you know, and Lynn Fitzgerald, I went to see them in the play and Andrew was there. And he asked me to have a picture taken because I do acting as well. And I've obviously given that poster campaign to lots of people. I met Colleen Nolan up when I did Escorts the Music in Liverpool just recently. And Colleen was brilliant and went ahead with it. So we're trying to use the campaign with well-known people, likes of Mark Womack, people like that, Joe Royal. The Everton players have got involved. And I think that's where we are. We're trying to take it to that next stage where we're getting recognisable people within the city that the people of Liverpool can recognise with and hopefully have some empathy and then take it from there and try and, you know, ask questions. What can we do? How can we help out? What's the next stage? And that's the campaign, really. And it's there's a £10,000 reward there, Peter, as well, and Crime Stoppers numbers on there. You know, so the right information's there. With anybody's got any information, it's to get in touch with Crime Stoppers, and there's a £10,000 reward.
Ronnie, tell us what's on the poster. What does it say?
Well, it's asking about, do you know who murdered Andrew on the date that it happened in Liverpool in Hanover Street? And it's on there with the phone number for Crime Stoppers. The Andrew's picture's on there very poignantly up there in the top right-hand corner. And obviously the number to Crime Stoppers is there, and anybody who can help out. That's basically what the campaign is. But the poster is the byproduct. The people holding the poster, I think, is the significant part of trying to raise the awareness further. So when people recognise the famous people, I think then they look into the poster to get the details.
Ronnie, did I hear you had a bit of a hiccup recently with a poster and a boxer?
Oh, Tyson Fury. He basically refused to go ahead with it and said, I'm not going to be, and I quote, a snitch, which met with utter disbelief from everybody who I've spoken to. Andrew himself was mortified. He's had everything's been very positive. When Andrew is the most inoffensive person that you could ever wish to meet. He's very courteous. He asks your permission. Even if we can't, if he hasn't got a poster on hand, he asks, can he send it to you? And he talks about it. He's not one of these guys who's aggressive or in your face. So to get that response from Tyson Fury was absolutely unbelievable, Peter. And it affected Andrew to the point where he's saying, well, hang on, what am I doing here? Yeah. You know, am I doing the right thing? And there was a lot of time to reassure him that he was. And, you know, one bad apple doesn't ruin the whole bunch, you know?
Just amazing. Now, Ronnie, the question I've got to ask, and I don't know if you can answer this, and I don't understand this, because I've just done a programme recently with Jimmy McGovern and Colin McEwan, joint enterprise. Now, doesn't that come into this? If there are people that know who killed Andy's son, how can they not be brought to justice?
Well, I think that's where the all the red tape is, Peter, and I'm not qualified enough to answer that question, I'll be absolutely honest with you. The law itself is very confusing, it's mind-boggling, and it's actually, you can't see the wood for the trees on it. I can't quite get to the bottom of it and understand. They know who was there, but no one's coming forward to actually say, this is the person who's done it. I mean, it's had it. There's been a reconstruction on Crime Watch, and someone came forward, and then this particular individual. And I can't really say anything other than the individual's basically frightened off from giving any further information to take it further forward. So,
well, after doing this program, Ronnie, on Joint Enterprise, which is convicting people of murder and giving them life sentences because they are in the company of when the victim was killed or the crime was committed, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense, and I think that's where Andrew is. Obviously, Andrew's dad, sorry, is also named Andy. That's the difficulty. He can't get his head round. They're saying that there's not enough evidence there. And they know who was there. I mean, you know, they know the people who were involved in the whole scenario and the situation that went on, Peter. But as to why no one's actually being charged, either directly or indirectly, that's the million-dollar question, I'm afraid.
And the awful thing is that those people could be listening to this programme right now.
Well, what I would say, Peter, is this, is you're right. And if anybody out there can put their pillow on their head tonight and say, I know who killed Andrew, but I'm not going to do anything, really need to say to themselves, I've got to bring justice to this whole situation. I've got to do something. I've got to do the right thing. And I've got to pick up the phone. They can do it anonymously. They can do it either directly or indirectly. What I'm saying is, if you are listening and you know something and you know what went on and you have a name that you can give us for us to follow through, please, please, please do so. We need to find out who murdered Andrew, and God bless him and his wife. We need to try and give these people their life back. At least they can then start to move forward in rebuilding a relationship that they had previously. Now, I know they have other children as well. It's affected the other children as well, Peter. So there's a lot of people involved in trying to sort of bring this to a I can't even say a satisfactory conclusion because that's not the right thing to say, but I think you know where I'm going with it, to give them some sort